Hey there, it's Tony here and welcome to the Dumb Leaders podcast. Today we're talking about dumb leaders having a negative impact on others. Stay tuned. Hey there, it's Tony here and welcome to the Dumb Leaders podcast. Hey, we're back. Thank you for tuning in. We took a small hiatus. We took a little bit of a break. During that break, we had a number of interviews lined up with some other podcasts that wanted to talk about the Dumb Leaders podcast, the Dumb Leaders handbook, and the concept around helping people become better leaders by analyzing and reviewing mistakes of dumb leaders, lousy leaders, and bad bosses. We've been able to update a bit of a guest list, so we've got that coming as we recommence the journey. But today I just want to talk about dumb leaders have a negative impact on others. And I see this time and time again. We get stories from listeners, we get stories from readers about leaders, dumb leaders, that have a negative impact on others. And one of the more common scenarios that we hear about is when a dumb leader impacts another one of their team members with productivity and effectiveness, you know, that concept of time management. Now, some of the aspiring leaders that I work with support the stories that we hear, but I'll share some of the insights on that in just a little bit. We've received many dumb leaders' stories. We've just received many, and we've got some stats that we'll be sharing in the coming weeks as well, which are very interesting around some of the feedback that we're getting. So if you want your stories included in some of that analysis, we're creating a bit of a white paper around dumb leaders, for want of another word. Please share with us, and you can do that over at dumbleaders.com. Just click on the contact page and share your dumb leader story. But we've seen, we get many stories around dumb leaders that disrupt more than they create. They interrupt more than they can focus or allow their teams to focus, and they annoy their team more than they align their team. And I think based on what we're seeing that comes to us, there's a large range of leaders that we see, we're hearing from a large range of leaders that want to get better at what it is that they do. And one of their frustrations in getting better, getting more productive, getting more effective is potentially their leader, their dumb leader that they're reporting to. You know, we've heard of many examples of leaders, a little bit like Michael Scott from The Office. You know, I love The Office. It's a great little piece of comedy. But when you're working with a leader like that, it's very frustrating. So leaders that frustrate, leaders that meddle, leaders that lack clarity, leaders that play silly games, leaders that inappropriately time waste. You know, we see and feel frustrations in both our readers and our listeners in many of the stories that they send to us. And personally, I work with a range of leaders at many levels. And the theme, again, is constant. You know, when we get into like a concept of time management or how do we manage priorities, and I'm looking to help the executive, and we're looking to help the executive get better and more effective, there's normally a number of distractions that we talk about in our initial coaching conversations. You know, we work through methods on how to improve our focus. But the concept of interruptions and distractions will often come up. So we look at things like emails, social media, staff always seeming to come to us with a question, and because we're the boss or their boss, that we think we have to have the answer for them. Other leaders talk about poorly run meetings, people booking in or double booking into your calendars. Leaders that procrastinate, you know, and usually our initial and original coaching conversations talk about those things, and we talk about those things quite openly. And The beauty with those things is that we can actually work through methods on how to improve our focus. You know, often I'll ask them to do simple things like daily to-do lists, activity lists at the end of the day that's documented your time and task. But one of the things that is very beneficial to do is to, I ask them to do a distractions log. So every time they get distracted or every time they get interrupted, log it somewhere. So whether it's in your diary or whether that's on a piece of paper beside your phone, whatever, log a distractions log or an interruptions log. And often I'll get, oh, Tony, I'm too busy to fill that in. Or one client I remember clearly, I started filling it in, but there was just too many distractions, so I stopped at 11 o'clock. But by doing a distractions or an interruptions log, and that's probably more the reason why you want to do them. When you're really, really busy and when you are being heavily interrupted, you really want to try and understand to be able to review what was it that interrupted you. Because, you know, neuroscience research continues to tell us that every time we're interrupted, every time we switch tasks, it creates a cost in our time. And, you know, that cost is costing us and the companies or the businesses that we run in being more effective. So every time we're switching, and we're taking time to switch. So every time we're distracted, every time we're interrupted, it costs. So we need to think about that. You know, as well as those interruptions that we talked about initially, another one started popping into lists. And this is one that usually we don't talk about in the initial conversation because people up until our conversation don't necessarily see it as an interruption or a distraction. They see it more as a cost of doing their job. But by doing a distractions or an interruptions log, all of a sudden the boss starts appearing on there. You know, the boss checking in, the boss giving another task, the boss adding some stuff that he forgot to tell you earlier, the boss just being annoying, the boss following up, the boss sharing a story, the boss telling you about his day, the boss venting about stuff. You know, I'm sure you're getting the drift. How many times does the boss come in and interrupt what it is that you're doing? And, you know, it may even be like an informal interruption where, you know, especially people that work in open plan offices, the boss walks in and starts talking to someone else and ultimately upsets and creates distraction and interruption within the whole room. But many of the distractions that appear on the disruptions log or the distractions log, we can start working through. So, for example, staff inquiries. When, you know, if we're constantly getting Tom from accounting walking in and asking you questions, maybe it's a time to start spending some time with Tom to develop him. We'll start asking some questions around, well, Tom, what would you do? Where would you look? How would you fix that? So, yes, it's not the quick fix that we often do. We just give people the answer. But that's why they keep coming back, because we're giving them the answer. So really challenge them to get the answer themselves. Ask them questions and push back. Get them to come to you with a solution. Another thing that tends to happen is we say yes to a lot of things. So by absolutely understanding what's in our distractions log, we can start saying no. We start to see the reason why we should say no to things. And, you know, I've got a really big saying, you have to learn to say no to have a really big yes, because when you say yes, you mean it and you commit to it. But because we say yes to everything, we get these half messages everywhere. We do half jobs. We do half projects. We're continually doing half a job. So start saying no. But when you say yes, it's a really big yes. People start analyzing meetings, you know, whether they should attend or not. You know, I've had managers come to me and say, Tony, every month I've got to go to this meeting. It goes for 4 hours. I get a 10-minute segment to communicate where we are in my division. And that's it. Nothing else is relevant, but I still have to go. And so it's only when we start to analyze that and we start saying, well, look, hang on, and asking the question, do I really need to be there for the whole thing? Can't I do a 10-minute presentation, then open a Q&A to get everyone's feedback around the area, and then can I move on? And, you know, mostly that gets well received, believe it or not. So if you're attending meetings that you're sort of thinking, why am I here? Ask the question, why do you need to be there prior to going to the meeting? And that may start helping you. In respect of media and emails and social media, just turn off your notifications and start to chunk in your time, you know. Chunk it in, whether it's a 10-minute aspect or whether it's a 20-minute aspect. And just get rid of all those annoying little distractions, because even just having your phone buzz diverts your attention, and then you've got to bring it back. And once again, we're looking at the time and at a bit of a time focus there. And there's better places that we can use our time. But so many of the things that appear in our distraction log, we can work on them and we can work to reduce them. And sometimes we can with the boss as well. So many people have said, Tony, how can I reduce that? And yes, admittedly, sometimes it's difficult, and I'm going to share why it's difficult in a sec. But some of my clients have had amazing success because they've sat down with their boss and they've showed them their interruptions log. And genuinely, the boss has been surprised by that. Oh, geez, I didn't know that I, you know, six times a day I come and see you. Wow. And so some of them have been able to reduce that impact by arranging, instead of being interrupted six times during the course of the day, having a 15-minute one-on-one catch-up every day and making sure that everything is contactable. I mean, everything is talked about there and then. And then having a very clear understanding that outside of that, it's only that like catastrophic stuff, you know, that urgent stuff that should really allow for any further interruption. So it helps people get that clarity around a 15-minute catch up, and then they go out and they deliver. But the challenge obviously is you need to deliver as well. But often a good boss will acknowledge a couple of things. A, it's very rare that you'll have one of your own team members coming to you with some feedback around you, and a good leader or particularly great leaders will acknowledge that that takes courage, and they acknowledge the courage that the team member has shown. And a good leader will respond with empathy. A good leader will respond with empathy and an approach to fixing the problem. But and that's great. If you've got a good leader, share your distractions log, and I'm sure that between both of you, you can come up with some form of a solution that's going to help you. But bad leaders simply don't care. They don't care. They don't take on the facts. And many will believe it's their right. It's the way that they manage. It's the way that they lead. And please don't dare give me feedback. I don't need your feedback. And that can be the attitude, and that can be the approach of dumb leaders. They don't change, and in fact, they'll often get worse. That's right. They get worse because they believe it's their right. And they believe that that's the way they manage. That's the way they lead. It's their right to lead the way they do. And in exercising that rise, they're effectively creating ineffective team members because of their frustrating, annoying, and inept methods in which they lead. They don't change. Often they get worse. But a dumb leader like that lives constantly in their own pressure cooker. They live in this constant pressure cooker of their own doing, undermining themselves with their own behaviors. Who needs team members to undermine you when you can do that with your own behavior? So they live in this constant pressure cooker that is their own doing, and they undermine themselves with their own behaviors. And unfortunately for many dumb leaders, that won't change until the pain becomes too great. But can I just assure those dumb leaders that may be listening to this and may not think that this is actually relevant to them, which is also a hallmark of a dumb leader. When you're ready, we're ready, because the Dumb Leaders Handbook, that's what it's all about. We're here to help make you better by learning from the mistakes of the dumb. I'm going to leave you with one tip. If you are leading people, and, you know, whether it's a work, sporting, community group, whatever, if you're leading people and one of your team comes to provide and comes and wants to provide feedback to you, acknowledge that that's pretty courageous. Taking that courageous leap and giving you feedback, the least that deserves is for you to take that on board. There is nothing more courageous in the corporate world than a person that reports to you, coming to you to give you feedback about you. Think about that. And think about that courage that took that person to do, and imagine, just imagine for 1 minute what else that courage could do. So think about that. What else is possible for you, for your sake and for your team members' sake? Please take it on board and work with them to help you become a better leader. Hey, thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Dumb Leaders Podcast. We are so stoked to be back. It's awesome. And until next week, we'll be back with another fantastic, amazing, sensational. Okay, maybe not fantastic, amazing, but we'll be back with another episode.